Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Paula, who's dead English?
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with Shimei Navarro. And on the line right now, we have Lucas Miles, author of The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church. Lucas, how are you doing today?
Hey, I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you back. I remember last time we talked, I just couldn't get enough of it. But Shimei wasn't there. Can you bring her up to date a little bit on what has happened to the church?
Yeah, so in this book, The Christian Left, I really trace what I call this growing constituency of left-leaning Christians, and oftentimes so-called Christians, or Christians by name only, that have just, you know, been impacted and influenced by liberal ideology, progressive theology, and at times Marxist theory. And so what does that look like? It looks like things like, you know, the espousing of critical race theory, churches and clergy becoming, you know, pro-choice and supporting abortion efforts. It looks like the continued support for the LGBTQ agenda. And I think that it looks like, you know, a social justice gospel that makes Jesus more this great social reformer, more so than the savior of the world. And hey, tracing this, it's on the rise, and I think we should be concerned.
I think you're right. And Lucas, we're talking to Lucas Miles here, folks. Lucas, tell me, what is the allure then for these folks to even be in the church? Because to do that, you've got to shove a bunch of ideas into the Bible that simply aren't there. You're basically saying, I do not respect this book that I claim to follow. Why are they even in the church? Why?
So there's a presupposition there that these individuals view Scripture as defining what Christianity is. And
oh, you know, my
just
bad.
Like we've seen revisionists. Yeah, I mean, you would think that would be part of it, right? But it's not. See, so just as we've had revisionist history with, you know, our forefathers and the Constitution and these sorts of things within our nation's history, we also now have an effort for a revisionist history within, you know, Christianity and within the Bible. And so it's not that these individuals say don't believe in at least aspects of the Bible, but they are willing to pick and choose those aspects because they've downgraded the Bible. It's no longer viewed to them as the Word of God. It's viewed as sort of this story about God, or this story where we find aspects about, you know, maybe the divine, or maybe just, you know, good rules for living. There's actually an article by The Atlantic, I think today or yesterday, that came out following a group that was, you know, sort of this atheistic church that had started up, where they wanted the community, they wanted the gatherings, they wanted the sort of feel-good moments that a church provides, but they didn't want anything to do with, you know, with faith. And so they've created this shell that it has, in all appearances, to look like Christianity, but it really has, it's totally void of the gospel. And so this is sort of what the Christian left has majored in, and it's really used this historic figure, Jesus, to justify the socialist takeover of America and really the introduction of Marxism to this country, and specifically the youth of this country. And so, you know, this is what I'm you know, really targeting in my book, The Christian Left. And, you know, it's, I think a lot of people, especially if you live in more Bible Belt, you know, areas of the country, maybe people haven't seen this as much. But I can tell you that I'm in a red state in a blue county. And, you know, my office is downtown, south in Indiana, and I can tell you five or six churches around me that, you know, they're flying higher than the cross out front. They're flying, you know, a Marxist BLM flag. They're flying a rainbow flag. They're espousing these things even more so than they are the gospel itself.
Well, Lucas, really quick here, if you have to pick and choose, I mean, if you want to pick and choose what you believe about God, My question is this: do you really want a God, or do you want to be God? if you're God's, I'm sorry, but at any magazine, isn't the person in charge the editor? So if you're going to edit God, aren't you the editor?
So I guess to look at that and really to understand the history, and obviously on a radio interview here, we're not allowed the time to go through all of this. But
that's why people need your book, Lucas.
Progression. this is true, which I've given. They buy it at lucasmiles.org. They get an autographed copy as well. It's all set out there.
Awesome.
It's a progression over time. Starting as early as the 1700s, working its way, and there is a discipline called biblical criticism that really seeks to deconstruct scripture. And these progressives, they think that they have ended up with the most probable version of Jesus when they look at the text of scripture. And so they're looking at scripture, and anything that seems miraculous, anything that seems kind of too good to be true, they sort of cross off as that's most likely mythology or exaggeration over time and these things. And so they've kind of just really shaved away all of these divine and miraculous aspects of the Bible to get something that feels more like just a historical, biography on a good rabbi, during the first century. And they seem to be okay with that. You're not going to hear Christian leftists like, Pete Buttigieg or, Warnock or others talking about forgiveness of sin, repentance, heaven and hell. Those aren't concepts that are important to them. They want to utilize Christianity to support their agenda now and seem to have very little concern about what the next life is about. And the way they justify that is basically saying, if you're more concerned with the next life but not about loving somebody now or not about, if you're trying to prevent somebody from loving who they want to now or from having these open borders or whatever the issue is, they would see that as a lesser form of love, and so therefore God must disapprove of that, and that gives them sort of a first-class ticket to heaven, if there is one in their minds.
So basically, you can get to heaven where God's standards are in charge, but you get there by your own standards in charge. Hey, really quick, Shimmy has a question.
Go
ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm here with the whole mask, the free face things. What I've found has been really weird in church groups. People have, aligned the thinking that the Christ-like thing to do is to wear a mask or, take the vaccine. I was just appalled when I heard somebody say that that's the Christ-like thing to do. Jesus would take the vaccine. And I was like, Jesus touched lepers and healed them. And I think the thing that I'm realizing in seeing just all of 2020 and now 2021 is that 2 Timothy 3:5, where it says where they have the form of godliness but deny the power.
Yeah.
And it says to turn away from people that interact like that. And my heart has hurt during with the race stuff, because in Christ, it says neither Jew nor Gentile, if you're in Christ, you're an heir. And the church has just moved away from that and I've agreed with you, taken up that doctrine of Marxism, which it's not life. There's no life in it. So I agree completely with you. I can't wait to get your book.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your efforts in that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things I think it's important for people to understand when they look at some of what's going on, and whether it's whether it's the conversations about COVID or some of the racial divisions, a lot of that is driven by what is known as liberation theology. And liberation theology, there's a couple variants of it, but essentially what it says is that God favors the oppressed more so than anybody else, and that he favors certain races who, view themselves as being oppressed more than anybody else. And that really that there is no way for anyone who is deemed an oppressor, and basically an oppressor in that language is just anybody who has something, so it doesn't mean that you've ever done any sort of oppressive or racist thing in your entire life.
No, you have privilege.
If you have more than somebody else, yes, you're privileged at that point, right? And so there's no way to escape it. You can't apologize enough. You can't do anything to lose your status as oppressor. And so this liberation theology kind of enters into that conversation, and really there is a whole spiritual thing behind that, and it's really a form of kind of Marxist thought combined with originally Catholicism and then later Protestantism in the U.S. But it really has nothing. It's antithetical to Scripture. I'm actually reading one of the founders of Liberation Theology's kind of original text right now, and it's some of the most disturbing literature I've ever come across in my life. And I just had a big conversation on Twitter actually this morning with a guy at Religion News Service, which is a progressive, sort of pseudo faith, you know, publication. And, you know, he was harping about the mask thing. And, you know, he's a nice guy, but, you know, it's kind of that thing. If you were really spiritual, if you were really acting like Jesus, you would do this and this and this and this. And, you know, how far do we want to take that? Are we going to, you know, begin, you know, kind of sweeping our paths with a broom so we don't step on a bug? I mean, you know, how far do I have to go? If I go 1 mile over the speed limit, am I then, you know, not being like Jesus and violating, you know, somebody else's, you know, space and these things? And so it just gets real. It feels like the parable or the story where Jesus approaches the rich young ruler and he says, I've done all these things. And Jesus says, there's one thing you lack. You know, as long as we try to live by this law, there's always going to be one more thing we could do better. But the reality is the gospel is about grace. It's about principles and really common courtesy and wisdom. It goes a long way to avoiding, you know, problems in this life, but now we have the state trying to define,
you know,
all of those things for us, and it's really just a form of soft totalitarianism.
Hey, Lucas, we just had a question come in from a listener. Can you identify some of these people and groups who are causing some of these issues?
In other words, can you name names, Lucas?
Can you name? And real quick, before we even go into that, I just want to remind people, we're talking to Lucas Miles, author of The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church. That's a book you're going to want to get. Lucas, can you name names?
So, yeah, in fact, I wrote this book originally with no name, and I shared it to a couple people I really trust, and they said, Lucas, this is going to be one of the most important books this year, but, you know, you have to do the hard thing, and that is you have to identify some of these groups. And I didn't want to, but I realize now how important it is because people oftentimes they struggle discerning, and they can hear the doctrine of it, and they go, well, yeah, I'm against that. But then they don't realize that they're in a church that's teaching it. And I've seen that myself with even churches around here where people will hear what I'm saying in my book, and they're going, yeah, we're all for it. We're behind you, Lucas. And then I see where they're going to church, and their church is completely given over to kind of this woke culture. And they're not able to discern the difference sometimes. And so, you know, and I provide in the book sort of questions you can ask about your church and your pastor to really help discern if you're in a woke church. And this isn't about my specific doctrine. It's about Christian orthodoxy, and that's a pretty wide target for us that gives room for denominational differences.
Okay.
Who am I really talking about?
Yeah, really quick. Give one example before we let you go.
So I think we have there's a spectrum, you know. So somebody like Jonathan Merritt, who is, you know, who's written for The Atlantic and Religion News Service, he would be a guy that's, you know, kind of what I would call full-on progressive Christian.
Okay.
You know, you know, really kind of fit in that world. I talked about Pete Buttigieg, who ran for Democratic, you know, candidate for mayor.
Yeah.
Or for president. And then you also have people like that are a little bit more towards the Orthodox Christianity standpoint, like a Beth Moore, but who is very sympathetic towards a lot of these progressive ideas. And people don't like that I name her as a name. But when you really, I mean, she removed everything about homosexuality from all of her books, you know, anything that identifies it as a sin. You know, she's gotten soft on a lot of issues, and she's supported a lot of individuals.
And
like
Lucas, let me jump in here for a second because we got to let you go first. But lukewarm is worse than cold. Okay, so the people who are, shall we say, closer to good teaching, but bring in this bad teaching with it, I believe they cause even more damage.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's important. This isn't about, you know, this isn't about prosperity gospel or this or that. This is about teaching that the Bible is no longer the Word of God. And anytime we start drifting away from that, that's where we have to draw the line. We can disagree about how you baptize or about it speaking in tongues, you know, for today or not, but we can still be brothers and sisters in Christ.
Okay.
The moment you start drifting away from the Bible, there's a problem.
All right. We'll have to end it on that. Lucas, one more time, how can people get your book?
So head over to lucasmiles.org. You can get the book everywhere, but we're sending out autographed copies at lucasmiles.org, and we're shipping right away. We're actually beating Amazon right now.
Awesome. Way to go, Lucas, and we'll bring you back, okay, sir?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day. Okay, folks, up next is American National Insurance. Do you file a claim, an insurance claim, every year? No.
No.
No, of course not. It's been decades for me. So Paul Leuenberger has a program where every year you don't file a claim, you get some money back. Pretty cool, right? Yeah. And when you do file a claim, Paul makes sure you receive great service. So don't shop online. Talk to a real person, a good person. Call Paul at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect. You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Shemaine Navarro. And on the line right now, we have Greg Cozera. Greg, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Andy. How about you?
I'm doing well. And what's your organization again? Is it Shale Crescent?
Shell Crescent USA, and we're a nonprofit. Our mission is to bring high-wage jobs back to the region we've branded as Shell Crescent, which is Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, the old Rust Belt. And our goal was to refurbish it, to get some excitement going and get some standard of living, and the people living there raised up. And boy, what an opportunity we've got today, Andy. We really do.
Why do we have such a great opportunity today? Because I got to be honest, Greg, to me, it seems like the opportunities are drying up some with the new administration.
Well, I'll be the first to tell you it's a challenge. There's no question about it. But when you look at big picture, here's what's happened. The pandemic really opened a lot of the eyes of a lot of folks. And we started looking at some things. And do you realize that we're importing from just China, now this is just one country, $500 billion worth of stuff every year?
Wow.
And our message is, that's a lot.
A half a trillion worth of stuff?
Every year.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Now, and that's why is that, and we saw that. I mean, you saw it in Denver during a pandemic. We couldn't get masks. We couldn't get gloves. We couldn't get, hospital gowns. All these medical equipment, ventilators, because we stopped making a lot of that stuff here, and we were letting it be imported from overseas. All of a sudden we have a problem and we're in a bind. So I think what we're starting to see now is what we've learned talking to folks, and even I was on a conference call last week, even Walmart has figured this out, that 85% of their customers want to see the products they buy made in the USA. And this is our opportunity because we have the energy.
You know, Greg, when we look at our relationship with other countries, trade is great, but dependency is not. And I get really worried about these people who want to move us into energies where we are going to be very dependent on places like China. For instance, if you're going to go into green energy, that means that you've got to put all your energy into batteries. The rare earth minerals for those batteries, China has cornered the market on those. So, you know, I'm not against green energy. I think there are some good uses for green energy. But I look at oil and gas and I say, my goodness, the BTUs that they put out for the money is so much greater. You get so much more bang for the buck with them, and also you're not totally dependent on China.
You're so spot on. And, you know, what amazes me, and I guess I saw the first, you know, the Arab oil embargo in the 70s. We went through the energy crisis in the late 90s, 2000s. And I think a lot of folks that are in key positions either don't remember or weren't alive when some of this stuff happened. Because, you know, one of the things we have to learn about history is if we don't understand it and it's bad, it's really easy to repeat it. And those of us who lived through that Arab oil embargo, we can only get a certain amount of gasoline and only on even or odd days, and we had to wait in line to get it. I don't want to go back there, and I don't like the idea of having places like OPEC and Russia. We can't depend. Can you imagine depending on them for fuel for our military? I mean, that's not so. You are so spot on, Andy. You're so spot on.
Right, but thank you. And what blows my mind is these people who basically want to put us into total dependency on China now, because that's what's going to happen, Greg. I mean,
oh, you're absolutely right.
We can't make all these batteries without them. I'm going to make it very simple. Right now, we cannot make all these batteries and hold all this great electrical energy without going and begging to China.
And it's not just China, because to make those batteries, you need something called cobalt. You need lithium. Lithium comes a lot of it from South America. Cobalt, over half of the cobalt comes from the Congo. Can you imagine? Now, there's a lot of things going on. We're struggling with a lot of issues on race and everything else. But we've got 10-year-old kids mining cobalt, and we got people in this country clamoring for batteries. Now, doggone it, I don't care who they are or where they are. We got 10-year-old kids working as slaves to produce this product for us. Why should we buy that product? Why should we support that kind of treatment of human beings? That's ridiculous.
And the ironic part is that the same people probably have a Black Lives Matter sign in their front yard.
So the question is, okay, really, do they really, what do they believe? But, you know, guys, ladies, here's a big thing. It's bigger than this, because right now, you know, everybody, there's some differing opinions on climate change. You know, one thing I'm for, no matter what, we shouldn't be pouring garbage into the ground or into the atmosphere.
Agreed.
And here's what's happened. Since China entered the World Trade Organization in 2001, they've continued to increase the amount of manufacturing they do. Matter of fact, their manufacturing grew dramatically starting in 2001, but particularly since 2007. Now, here's what they've done. In those years, from 2007 till today, their annual greenhouse gas emissions is over 14,000 million metric tons a year. That's a lot. Do you know what the U.S. is producing?
How much?
A little over 5 million metric tons a year.
No, that can't be, Greg. I thought that we were the evil ones.
5,000 metric tons a year. And here's what happened. In that same period of time, in since 2007, China's greenhouse gas emissions have gone up 60%, and they haven't stopped. They're continuing to increase. In that same period of time, U.S. greenhouse gas emissions are down 22%. Now, doggone it. That's because we're making stuff in China. Now, what would happen if we took advantage of our energy advantage? And, you know, here's the thing. If anybody's really concerned about carbon footprint, they really got to have to understand this, folks, is China's energy, their oiling, their the energy and the molecules, because oil and gas aren't just energy sources. They're feedstock. They're the molecules to make the cell phones that we're talking on. Medical equipment, you name it. We got to have it. Prescription drugs. They're getting theirs from the Middle East, primarily Iran. Now, they put those on a ship, and that's about 7,000 miles, we calculated. And that's a significant greenhouse gas emission, not because they're using the nastiest, you know, dirtiest fuel in those ships to get that fuel and molecules to China. Then they make a product, and they ship it halfway around the world to us. Now, doggone it, that's a huge carbon footprint.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if you make that same product, and we can do it, and we can actually do it cheaper now, whether you'd make it in the Shale Crescent, let's just say Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Charleston, West Virginia, and where are we selling it? We're selling it right here in the region. So that's American Energy, which is almost zero carbon footprint because it's under the plant. the people that are making the product are right here, and they're going to ship it on a truck, maybe 500 miles max. You do the same thing in Denver. Take advantage of your oil and gas, your fuel, and make the stuff there, sell it in that region, or even sell it in the western U.S. You've got a huge reduction in carbon footprint. So if somebody's serious, and if they're going to worry about greenhouse gas emissions and forcing us to use energies that depend on China, forcing us to send our manufacturing over to China, they need to go look in the mirror and decide who's really the environmentalist here.
Well, yeah, and also not only do you not have to move the stuff back here, Greg, but our standards are much cleaner. We drill cleaner.
Absolutely.
We mine. Our mining is cleaner. Everything we do is cleaner. Hey, Greg, before I let you go and get your information on your book, because I want you to mention your book, by the way, because I love it. What would happen? Just give me a general statement. What would happen if we moved our manufacturing from there to here? What would happen for the planet?
The planet is a huge winner. Matter of fact, we've run some numbers. We're Shellcrest and USA. We're working on a study right now. Just minimum, we're looking at greenhouse gas emissions, 50 minimum, 75%, and probably as much as 100% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow.
If you were the CEO of Ford and you're talking about reducing your carbon footprint, I'd look you straight in the eye and say, here's how you do it. You shut down that plant in Beijing, and you bring it to Denver. You bring it to Pittsburgh. That's how you shut it down, because if you're going to sell your products here, you need to make them here. And here's something that all your listeners can do. If we're serious about greenhouse gas emissions, if we're serious about jobs, buy American. And what you can find out, I'm finding out that when I buy a lot of these generic products, they're made in the USA. And that's a win, because now we've got American workers and American communities benefiting from that. So that's a real big deal. And believe it or not, our labor is now on a par with China. I mean, we did another study, Boston Consulting Group did. There's about a 4% difference right now in manufacturing costs. By the time you look at transportation to get their products here, we're actually cheaper than China when it comes to manufacturing. And like you said, I trust the quality of an American-made product.
All right.
Over a Chinese-made product.
I love it. Folks, we need to spread the word. But Greg Kozera, please let us know how people can get your book, Just the Fracks, ma'am.
Sure. Two places. You can go to learn GregKozera.com. Just go to my website. That's Greg, GKOZERA, at AOL. GregKozera.com is the website for the book. You can also go to ShieldCrescentUSA.com and learn a lot about how and why we can bring manufacturing back to this country. And the book's also out there on a lot of the major, like Amazon and a lot of the other major sites that sell books. So good stuff, and hope everybody enjoys reading it.
All right. Well, Greg, I can't let you go unless you give me a promise. Do you promise to come back?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. I love it. Hey, appreciate all you guys do.
Thank you so much, sir, and we will bring you back. Okay. But first, Extreme Auto Repair. When you go to a mechanic, you're desperate.
Yes.
You are, because something's just gone wrong. So you're going to accept almost any price, aren't you?
You have to.
Exactly, because you are at their mercy. But are you sure you're getting the best car care for the money? Next time, call Extreme Auto for a second opinion. It's free, and they'll probably make it worth the time with a better price. And you know they're top quality. Call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Okay, Flesh and Beck, no matter how good your case is, you need preparation and presentation. because when you're in front of that judge, you want your guy or gal to be better than theirs. Don't take chances. Call Kevin Flesch. That's F-L-E-S-C-H. He's my lawyer. He can be yours too. So call Flesch and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesch. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesch, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Shemaine Navarro. And on the line right now, we have Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing okay. Sure, how you Shemaine? Doing? Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good. Shemaine, how you doing?
I'm good. I can't do it.
I know. We got to break her in, Joe. We got to train. Got to train a new co-host here.
I'm from Texas and then Colorado. It's just, it doesn't work.
Okay. Okay. How do they say it in Texas? Does anybody there literally say howdy?
No. We say y'all. Y'all? I mean, back then, yeah. No, no, I don't think yaddy.
No. Shemaine, do you know where you all is derived from? I told Andy this last week. You know where Shemaine is, where you all is derived from?
What?
It's the last two words in the Bible, and may God bless you all. Amen.
Yes, I love that.
That's very cool. Well, Joe, what do you got for us today?
Well, you want to talk about how passing black students and promoting them with below average math skills is racist? You want to talk about the Supreme Court hearing the gun law case? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I want to talk about the students first, Joe, because, you know, I just think that lowering standards for somebody is probably not going to turn out great.
Mm-mm. No, it's doing them a huge disservice. And Shemaine, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in most of the blue states and particularly in blue cities, the practice has been no matter how poorly you do, we're going to promote you and eventually graduate you, even if your reading skills or math skills are in the toilet. And let me just tell you how that's going to condemn people. It's going to talk about living in poverty. So let's say you push someone through school and promote them to the next grade and eventually graduate them with math skills that are, you know, barely close enough. That'll make them prime targets for people who might want to take advantage of them later in life. Let me give you a simple example. Salesperson, and my customer is someone who is allowed to graduate with, just pathetic math skills. And the salesman says, "Well, we offer two kinds of discounts. You can choose to get a 6% discount off your bill for the next monthly bill for the next 24 months, or you can opt to take a 75% discount off today's purchase price. You know, which would you want?" And the salesman might even push him towards one or the other. If you don't have fundamental math skills, how are you going to decide which is better?
Joe, you're a racist. That's my answer to that. I've got it figured out. My answer is Joe's a racist.
Joe's a racist. That's typically always the answer. And it's interesting, by the way, when black people like Candace Owens says, you know, I'm white woke, try to silence. No, let me white-splain to you what really are oppressed but just don't know it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just pathetic how they won't let smart, enlightened black people speak for themselves. You know, I mean, you know, Candace Owens has been the target of tremendous hate and targeting from liberals. But again, we've got this talk about systemic racism. You know, promoting minorities with, you know, poor math skills, poor reading skills is just condemning them to a life of poverty. I mean, if you can't, I probably hired several hundred people in my career as a manager and a boss. If somebody can't spell, can't use the English language properly, can't do simple math, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hire you. I don't care what your skin color is or your ethnicity. I'm not going to hire you, because one of my standards as a boss is I never hire somebody that I don't believe can't be promoted at least, you know, one or two steps above the job I'm hiring them for today. I don't want to hire somebody and 15 years from now have them still be in the job I hired them for 15 years ago. And I think most managers feel the same way I do when it comes to hiring people.
Joe, I think these low standards are being pushed basically because Democrats, I'm just going to call it but what it is, Democrats believe that the black subculture is incapable of learning. I think they really believe that. You and I know that everybody has the exact same mind. We are all just as smart or dumb as each other. It's just the way it is. People are people. But I really think, because the education level, let's face it, in the black community on average is much lower. And they don't want to face the fact that it's lower because they dominate the schools in those communities. They do. They run them. Instead of facing that, they just want to lower the standards overall. I mean, how did this come about, Joe? Because I think it's racism in its worst vein.
I do. You're talking about Jim. You know, I think it's Jim Crow in disguise. I really do. And I want to go back to, by the way, on that same topic, I want to take you back to a speech that a very famous person gave Father's Day 2008. And there's also another issue that ties in this, and this is, you know, growing up in poverty, growing up without a father. And, Shimei, I don't know if you ever heard this quote. Give me a second here to find it. Right. I'm just about there. Well, I thought I was there. there is a quote by a very famous person who talks about black children growing up in a home without a father. And at the time, there was 54% of the black children were growing up in homes without a father. Mm-hmm. And he quoted some just staggering statistics about how many of those people will drop out of school, how many will grow up in poverty, how many will be arrested and spend time in prison, and he goes on and on and on. And I've quoted that section of the speech many, many times. And I've been called a racist for quoting the speech. You know who gave that speech?
Who?
Senator Barack Obama, Father's Day 2008.
Wow.
Whenever I've quoted it without attribution, I get called a racist, that I'm making that stuff up, I'm lying, it's fake news. You know, what racist senator quoted that? But it was a speech by Barack, and you can Google Obama Father's Day speech 2008, and you'll find those. Now, what's even more discouraging, at the time he gave that speech in 2008, it was 54% of black children were growing up in fatherless homes. The last time I checked, that had grown to 76%.
My gosh, of
black children. And here's what happens. When you don't have a father figure in the home, you don't have a family, the gang becomes your family, and the gang values become your values, because you don't have any family, you don't have a father, you don't have any family values. So you basically get adopted by the gang. The gang becomes your family, and the gang's values become your values.
Well, Joe, if I can sum this up before we go to break. Look, there are single parent families that are just wonderful. And if you are a single parent, God bless you. We tip our hat to you and we want to support you. We are there for you. But let's take a step back and understand this is a two-sex species.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's going to be ideal to have both sides involved in raising a child. And I think it's just ridiculous that we have people actually advocating against that.
Right. By the way, if we have time, 30 seconds, I found the quote.
Go ahead.
Ready? We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They are more likely to have behavior problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves, and the foundations of our community are weaker because of it. Senator Barack Obama, Father's Day 2008.
Wow, what a hater. Jeez. No, I remember that speech, and I got to be honest, on that, he was spot on. Joe, can I hold you over the break?
You most certainly can.
Okay, but first up, Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Kurt Rogers would love to help with your mortgage needs. Maybe you want to move, upgrade, buy a second home, or just refinance. Doesn't matter. Kurt's your guy. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I've been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price, so they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. Hey, Joe in Jersey, hang on a moment. We have Ann in Centennial. Hello,
hey,
Ann.
Hi there.
Hey,
how are you doing, Andy?
Doing well. What brings you on?
I wanted to say hello to Shimei.
Hi, Ann.
We've known each other a short time. Yeah, how you doing? You're doing great. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm having fun.
Ann, well, how do you so know glad. Shimei?
We only have recently met. She and I both worked with the Arapahoe County Republican Party. So she's not just doing stuff on Facebook with her community, but she's getting involved in the nitty-gritty in her community.
That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Well, Ann, you got the microphone. Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say most of us tend to be rule followers, or not most of us, a lot of us tend to be rule followers. And so one of the things I'm so pleased about Shimei's Facebook page is that it helps give people courage. If you're a rule follower and everybody else is wearing a mask, even if you hate wearing a mask, like I think we mostly do, having a Facebook page where you can be a community and break the rules together is just a great way to get people involved and help people stand up, have the courage to stand up for our own rights.
Yeah, it's been such a sweet spot, hasn't it? And I personally have enjoyed reading the comments on every picture. People are so encouraging and nice in there. Have you noticed that?
I have, and I think like most people who have joined, they want to see the mask mandates removed. They want to see people with free faces. And so I'm just so glad that you did this, so glad you're involved in the community, so glad you're involved in the party, and thank you for giving people like me courage to stand up for our rights.
Oh, I love you.
Anne, thank you so much. And by the way, I do believe that people grouping together to break the rules is how we started a country. So thank you, Anne. Yes. We're going to run to Jennifer in Centennial. Jennifer, you're on. Jennifer?
Ewan, how are you?
There you are. Say hi.
Hey,
say
I'm
hello
here.
To Shimei.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. We're just hanging out at the winery maskless. We're in the middle of a busy dinner service, and I just wanted to give you a quick call before I have to jump back in and do some dishes.
Yes, it's wine to water, correct?
No, water's
water. Water to wine.
Jennifer, you got to let us know where the winery.
Say it again.
You got to let us know where the winery is.
Yes, I'm missing it.
Yeah, we're at Arapahoe University. It's Water's Edge Winery and Bistro, and we're across from the streets of South Glen at Arapahoe and Vine.
And you are the opposite of mask Nazis.
That is correct. I have never required masking at my business, and that has earned me I'm going to get an award, I do believe, for having the most complaints against my business from Tri-County Health.
That is something to be very proud of.
You know, I am actually very proud of it. When they called and they said, you know, you have the most complaints of all the businesses, it made my heart sore, but it also made it sink because I want the rest of my fellow business owners to stand up for their rights and fight back and not require masking. If everybody's gotten their shots already or if they want to breathe freely, you know, it's just the craziest things about requiring these masks, and they've used it as a bully tactic against us business owners. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that they have rights and to stand up to themselves and just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And that's what I've done. And I've taken a lot of flack for it. But what do they say? You know, you're right over the target when you're catching all the flack. That's what it feels like.
Well, Jennifer, enough of taking the flack. Let's take in some customers. And how can people find you online and find out how to eat, drink, and be free?
Well, you can find us at wewdenver.com, or you can see us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Or you just follow any of the sites of all the worst offenders from Tri-County Health. You'll find me there.
That's awesome.
I'm sure they've got me on some lists somewhere.
Fantastic. And Shimei wants to say goodbye here.
And
go ahead.
Yes, Jennifer, you are, and your approach to mass is what kind of started my little fire with starting this group. And you told that person, you guys are the reason why we're still having this, because you're continuing to wear it at our last LPR mentorship meeting. And I appreciated you doing that.
Yeah, well, that's my take, right? Is I figured a year ago, I kept saying to myself, well, if everybody just says, no, I'm done with this, we won't still be doing this. And here we are, right? If we say, no, we're not going to put my kids in masks, I'm going to pull them from the school. Well, the schools would have changed their tunes because the money goes with the students. If the business owners say, no, you can't tell me on private property that I have to force people to put a medical device over their face, it's against the law, then, you know, inevitably the government would have to say, oh, yeah, well, it was our idea. We decided that it was safe again. So if everybody just stands up and says, I'm done. We've been doing this for more than a year now. We are all done. Breathe free. I'm tired of seeing people have breathing problems because they're trying to breathe through these stupid masks.
Okay. Well, Jennifer, at Water's Edge, thank you. Stand fast and stay strong. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Bye.
It.
You bet. You take care. And Jersey Joe, hey, we got 2 minutes left. Take us home.
All right. The New York City Supreme Court gun case, which the Supreme Court has agreed to hear. In New York City, you cannot get a concealed carry permit. You cannot even travel through the city if you have a gun, which you have to have a permit to own. You can't even put the gun in your car and drive out to Pennsylvania to go shooting at a friend's house and come back. That is illegal in New York City. You may not transport your gun unless you're going to or from an approved shooting range in New York City. Anyway, a gun group with the help of the NRA has challenged that. Liberals are in a panic, liberal politicians, because if the if the Supreme Court with the current makeup says no, you cannot deny people the right to have a concealed carry permit, that's going to affect half a dozen blue states, including New Jersey, where I live, where it is impossible to get a concealed carry permit. So there's going to be a huge push to pack the court, you know, change it from 9 to 13, because if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the plaintiffs, all of these you may not have a concealed carry permit laws will disappear overnight. So it's just a huge issue,
Joe,
that's going to be heard by the court this fall.
Joe, what's your prediction?
I think it's going to hinge on Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, because they'd have to break the filibuster, because Republicans can stop it with a filibuster, and they need Joe Manchin to keep the filibuster so they can stop that legislation to change the Supreme Court from 9 to 13. So it's going to hinge on Joe Manchin.
I'm going to predict that he does. Well, he buckles at times. I'm predicting he does not on this. I don't think it's going away, and that's it. Jersey Joe, thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, Andy.
Talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Okay, folks, that'll do it for today. Thanks to Shemay Navarro. By the way, the answer to what makes a hearty breakfast, it is bacon.
Bacon.
Shemay, thanks for joining us. And Crawford Roundtable is up next. Tomorrow, I'm joined by Richard and Walt for our annual NFL mock draft. Folks, you're not going to want to miss it. It's always a blast. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.